Well, good morning once again. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Isaiah chapter 53. If you just want to use the Bible in front of the pew, I did look it up and it is page 523, Isaiah chapter 53. And if you're using your own Bible, it is right after Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, as it is sometimes called. Isaiah chapter 53. Before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship and adore you. Lord Jesus, as we remember today the horrible, horrible crucifixion, Lord, we remember of why it happened, why it had to happen. May your name be glorified in this time and as we go forth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, traditionally, Good Friday has been a practice that has been done by the early church for many, many years. And of course, we recognize that Good Friday is not just a time to come and sing these songs that give us these emotions or even songs and scripture reading, but it's a time to come together as the church, to reflect, to remember, and to remember that, as we will soon read in Isaiah chapter 53, that Jesus was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him. If you have your Bibles open, Isaiah 53, and we'll start at verse 1. It reads this: "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem." And we'll stop there at verse 3 for now. Now Jesus, in all of his glory, coming from heaven, came down to earth and left all of that. There was nothing about Jesus that would have directly linked him, at least, to what people thought the Messiah would look like. As I've mentioned before in previous sermons, Jesus didn't come in with a great army, as a great war general. He didn't come in with a literal sword that was on fire, anything magnificent. He didn't come in like that. In some ways, he probably disappointed some people. Maybe disappointed you. You might think, is Jesus really the Savior, the Messiah of the world? And I'm sure he disappointed people of that time as well. Of course, we're reminded today, the crucifixion, the death of Jesus Christ, was one that didn't attract a lot of people. In fact, many of Jesus' disciples didn't even show up at the crucifixion. They didn't even show up there. You see, when Jesus was on that cross, experiencing pain like we could never imagine, his disciples weren't there, many of his followers. He was rejected, as Isaiah says here. I don't think we can even begin to imagine this kind of rejection. Probably the emotional pain of the rejection, and of course the physical pain of the crucifixion. The greatest servant of all, our Savior Jesus Christ, was rejected. The Messiah of the world, rejected. We go on to Isaiah 53, verse 4. Reads this: "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Verse 6, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Verses 4 to 6, as we just read, tell another aspect of the servant Jesus. Now, despite what we may believe about why Jesus died such a horrible death, we must remember that it is our suffering, as verse 4 says, that he died. Verse 4, surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced literally, emotionally, for our transgressions. He wasn't only rejected, as verses 1 to 3 say, but he carried our sin, carried our transgressions. I want the weight of that to be felt among us as followers of him. Verses 7 to 9, we go on here in Isaiah 53. Reads, he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And in today's world, in 2018, I think we see a lot of injustice in the world. A lot of things that make us stand up and possibly want to do something. But at the same time, I don't think this world has ever seen an injustice quite like the death of Jesus Christ. And this passage here, verses 7 to 9, do a great job of showing that for us. A lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, he did not open his mouth, it says. He was cut off from the land of the living. Jesus, the Son of God, was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Not deserved in the slightest. Now, we could continue in this passage in Isaiah, especially Isaiah 53, and we could explore the crucifixion from all the Gospels. But this morning, we reflect on just one half of a verse in Romans 6, 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. A death that we rightly deserve, death that we should have been given. And yet, as many of us know, when we take Jesus' invitation to follow him, it all changes. There's no challenge, as I usually give a challenge from a text. No challenge from this text. And yet I believe these words in Isaiah say it well. Jesus, the Son of God, bore the sin of many, was beaten, and we, as Isaiah says, are like sheep that have gone astray. Sheep that have gone astray. On Sunday, of course, we will celebrate the risen Jesus, the greatest celebration that we can ever have. And I hope we celebrate it that way. More beautiful than any birthday, more incredible than any event. But today, this Good Friday, I believe we must pray the prayer that many people still pray today, a short prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I'll say that again, and you can say it silently or out loud. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I encourage you to not just today say that, but throughout your walk with Jesus. At this time, I'd like to invite up Sandy to do our last scripture reading.
The scripture is from John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
It is finished. Three powerful words. Let those be the words that you remember today and forevermore. It is finished.